What is the gospel according to you? That you are a witness for Christ and that people are reading you. And in another place, Paul said that you are an epistle. You are an epistle.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Can I Get a Witness? Before we begin today's message, we've been offering a book that I wrote, Touched by the Breath of God. In this eye-opening book, I go to great lengths to show that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We answer the questions of the skeptic, the scoffers, and the critics. Who wrote the Bible? How can we know the Bible is the Word of God? Should we take the Bible literally? Are there contradictions in the Bible? Didn't certain groups tamper with the Bible? Isn't the Bible an ancient book with no relevancy for today? Are translations reliable? Are there lost books of the Bible? These questions and many more are answered in this book. Contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and we will let you know how you can get a copy of my book, Touched by the Breath of God. Now join us for the first half of Can I Get a Witness?
We've been working through the Gospel of John. We've been here for a long time, and we've just come to chapter 5. So I'm going to start speeding things up a little bit. We've been kind of ruminating on some passages. But this morning, we're in John chapter 5 and verse 30. And it says, Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he beareth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, who hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and yet have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, you have not believed. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And I want to speak to you on this subject today. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? We have all seen or heard of the scenario where someone commits a crime in the neighborhood. And there are many people that see that this crime has been committed. But nobody wants to step forward. Nobody wants to come forth and tell what they've seen. And so the cry goes out. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? We have some wonderful cooks here at Bethany Baptist Church. And when you single people out, you run the risk of offending others. But so I just want to make that caveat that, you know, we do have some wonderful cooks here at Bethany Baptist Church. But there is a lady who is one of the pillars of our church, Sister Elaine Griffey. And I remember when I came, Sister Griffey made some of the best rolls that you ever tasted. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? rolls that were better than Red Lobster, Texas Roadhouse. Can I get a witness? Amen. 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 There was a guy. He was talking about his lady. And he said this: I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big fine car. I got everything a man could want and more than I could ask for. I don't have to run around and I don't have to stay out all night. You see, I've got a wonderful lady and she's clean out of sight. Well, my baby, she's all right. Well, my baby, she's clean out of sight. Don't you know that she's some kind of wonderful? And then as he sang that song, he appealed to the other brothers in the house, and he said, can I get a witness? Can I? Oh, man, brothers, I was setting y'all up, man. I was setting the brothers up. Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Well, my baby, she's all right. Well, my baby, she's clean out of sight. Don't you know that she's some kind of wonderful? Anybody got a lady like mine? Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. Amen. Can I get a witness? And as we look at this passage, we see earlier that Jesus healed the impotent man. And that was a powerful story in itself. And I would encourage you to go back and get that CD, because there were some deep things that came out of that particular passage. But we see that as a result of that, they wanted to kill Jesus. That after he healed the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, that they wanted to take his life. And then, as we go on further and read in the chapter, that Jesus claimed to be equal with God. And when he said that he was equal with God, then they all the more sought to kill him. And so Jesus begins to say, you guys want to kill me, and because I'm making the claim that I'm equal to God. He said, but I got some witnesses this morning. And so in this passage, Jesus calls five witnesses to testify to his deity. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, we read these words, Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. Do you have that scripture? It should be the next slide. All right. I'll just go ahead and read it. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And so we see here that in the Old Testament, there was a rule or a law that one person that wanted to testify as a witness was not good enough. But in order for a thing to be established, it had to be two or three witnesses to a thing. And then once you got two or three witnesses, then you could have some verification to what was being said. Now, one witness, you had less accuracy and you had more subjectivity. So if you just had one person, you know, that individual is more likely to be less accurate and then to be more subjective and going by what they feel or what they think. But when you have two or three witnesses, you have greater accuracy and you have more objectivity. And so Jesus is saying that my deity, my claim to be equal with God is coming into question. He says, so I don't only have one witness. I don't only have two witnesses. I don't only have three witnesses, but he says that actually I've got five witnesses. And so this morning, we want to look at the five witnesses of Jesus to his deity. And then we're going to make this thing personal. So let's look at it and see what it says. And then how does God speak to our heart? The first witness was the witness of Christ himself. Look what he says in verses 30 through 32. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that witness which he hath witness of me is true. Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that when Jesus said, my witness is not true, and this is the reason that I went back to that Deuteronomy passage, he's not saying that what I'm saying you can't trust. Now, Jesus said in another place, look at John chapter 8 in verse 14. John chapter 8 and verse 14. So look what Jesus says here. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear witness of myself, and look what he says here, yet my witness is true. So, what's going on, Jesus? Is your witness true or is it not true? You said in John 5 that if you bear witness of yourself, it's not true. But now you said in John 8 that your witness is true. So we go back to Deuteronomy where it said, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. And so what Jesus was saying, he's saying if I stand here and I bear witness of myself, he said, you're not going to believe me because you will go back to the Old Testament law that said you need two or three witnesses. And so what Jesus is saying, I'm standing here to witness for myself. But according to you, my witness is not going to be true because I need two or three more to back it up. And so Jesus slides past that and he moves to his other four witnesses. And so his next witness that he calls to the stand was John the Baptist. He said, you guys are doubting whether I'm the Christ? You're doubting whether I'm equal to God? He said, my witness is just one. That's just one. We'll just put that aside. Let me slide on. He said, John the Baptist. And if we went back, we're not going to go back there because I kind of put the outline up here. And that is, John was preaching in the wilderness. And many of these same Pharisees ran out into the wilderness to see him. And Jesus said, for a while, look, I like what he says here. In John chapter 5 and verse 35, it says that he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. That when he was out there preaching in the wilderness, all you guys went out there and heard what he said, and you said, this is a prophet. But you only received it for a season. And he said, the thing about it, that you guys have short memories too. Because let's see, what did John say? First of all, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm talking about Jesus' second witness now. He said, he saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And then he said in John 1:34, that I bore witness that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. His first witness, himself. But one witness is not enough. His second witness, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a powerful witness to the deity of Jesus Christ. And then we move on to his third witness. Jesus' third witness. Wow. 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 Man, can you imagine being on trial and having to call some witnesses to speak for you. And so, you know, a lot of people don't want to testify for themselves. And as a matter of fact, that they are under counsel of their lawyers sometimes that they don't need to go on the stand because they can be cross-examined and might something might come out. And so Jesus says that I'm willing to take the stand for myself, right? But even if my witness is not good, I got the witness of John the Baptist. And then look what he says in verse 36. He says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father have sent me. In Matthew 11, Jesus healed the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf. He raised people to life. Can I get a witness? He did miracles in the name of the Father. Can I get a witness? And then in John 20 and verse 30, it says many more miracles that Jesus did that are not even recorded in the Bible. Can I get a witness? Jesus says that the works that I do witness for me. But I believe, wow, this is deep, man. I'm getting ready to give you a deep one now. This is really deep. His fourth witness. And who is his fourth witness? Woo! Yeah. Amen. I got a witness over there. His fourth witness is the Father. Look what he says in verse 37. And the Father himself who have sent me have borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and ye have not in his word abiding in you, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he have sent, you have not believed. The Father, probably the most powerful witness that Jesus had. Two times, right? Two times. Matthew 3:17, Matthew 17:15. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You got the testimony of the Father. And then throughout the Old Testament, God spoke about his Son. He spoke about his Messiah. He spoke about his Son that would come. Isaiah, Psalms. You know, we have Jesus sprinkled all through the Old Testament as God referring to him as his Son. Jesus testified for himself. John the Baptist testified. His works testified. The Father testified. And then Jesus' final witness that he calls to the stand is the Word. He calls the Word to the stand. And we see here in verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they testify of me. They testify of me. Five witnesses Jesus calls to the stand. And the last one is the Word of God. Let's look at two passages. Let's look at two passages. John 1 and verse 45. John 1 and verse 45. And this is where Philip and Andrew have a dialogue about Jesus. In verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him. That was talked about in the Old Testament. That the scriptures talk about Jesus. The scriptures testify of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. Luke 24, and Jesus is walking with the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. And in Luke 24 and verse 27, they didn't know it was Jesus. And the Bible says that came alongside after he rose from the dead. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. My. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he went back to the Old Testament and he began to tell them all the things about himself. The scriptures witnessed to the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, all of you have been called to the witness stand. Every last one of you have been called to the witness stand. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we know that Jesus was talking to the disciples, but I believe that as we give a secondary application to this passage, that this is something that comes to all of us, that we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, that you are to be an example and a light for Christ. And so I found this poem, and this poem is The Gospel According to You. If you're a witness, right? Jesus already got five witnesses. But you know, a lot of people are not going to see those other witnesses. They're not going to see John the Baptist. They're not going to see his miracles. They're not going to see the Father. They're not going to see the Word. And sometimes the only witness that somebody else is going to see is you. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Hey, what is the gospel according to you? What is the gospel according to you? That you are a witness for Christ, and that people are reading you. And in another place, Paul said that you are an epistle. You are an epistle. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other, epistles of commendation to you, of letters of commendation from you? No. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You see, back in Paul's day, there were guys that walked around with letters. And if they wanted to verify themselves, that they would have a letter from somebody say, well, you know, this was so-and-so. You know, he was with me for a while, and here goes the letter that I have that he wrote, you know, for me. And so they would walk around with these letters and kind of in a braggadocious way show others the letters that they had. And Paul said, look.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in the next time for the conclusion of Can I Get a Witness? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Can I Get a Witness? You can contact us here at anchoredinjesus.org and request Can I Get a Witness? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the message Can I Get a Witness? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. Visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, where you can view or download more than 400 teaching resources. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. Again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.